are the Francis?
Aquino's not on yet. We'll come back. Joseph Bear, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis.
Peter?
Yes, Father Francis.
Madeline? Madeline?
Yes, Father Francis.
Joshua?
He's not here.
You didn't do it?
Genevieve? Yes, Father Francis.
Genevieve did the homework. Good. Miliana? Miliana, did you do the homework? Emiliana, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis. And I also did some research.
Okay, I'll hear about that later. We got some Aquinos. Is Gianna here? Gianna, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father, I'm here. Yes, Father, I did the homework.
Justice.
Yes, Father Francis, I did the homework.
And Jedediah.
Yes, Father Francis, I did the homework.
And Jonah.
Yes, Father Francis, I did the homework.
Good. Essers, are they up there yet? I don't see them yet. Is Abraham Gallardo up there? Oh, there's the Essers. Teresa Esser, did you do the homework?
Teresa's not here because she's in her class, but she did do the homework.
And Mary Ann?
Yes, Father Francis.
Angelica?
Yes, Father Francis.
Good. Abraham, are you with us? Abraham Gallardo?
Yes.
Did you do the homework?
Yes.
All right. Riley, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis.
Good. Olivia?
Yes, Father Francis, I did the homework.
Claire Gomez?
Yes, Father Francis.
Logan's not here, right? He must not be in the class. I'm going to cross him out. All right. Chris Kapp, did you do the homework?
No, Father Francis.
Okay. Julia Latham? Latham's? Sarah Beach, I know you're on. Did you do the homework, Sarah?
Yes, Father, I did the homework.
Good. Rachel Olivney?
Yes, Father Francis.
Garrison, is he up there? Garrison? No. Garrison, you're not with us right now? Okay. How about the Rivas family? Oh, there they are. Alicio, did you do the homework?
No, Father Francis.
Bethany?
Yes, Father Francis.
Mara?
Yes, Father Francis.
Aaron?
Yes, Father Francis.
Good. Diego? Diego?
Yes, Father Francis.
Good. Liliana?
Yes, Father Francis.
Melina?
No, Father Francis.
Andrew Santana?
Yes, Father Francis.
Is that a yes? That was a yes. Luke?
Yes, Father Francis.
Sophia?
Yes, Father Francis.
Blair?
Yes, Father Francis.
Cameron Sorrell?
Yes, Father Francis.
Tristan?
Yes, Father Francis.
Good. Joseph Reggiero.
Yes, Father Francis.
Good. Okay, so Latham's, they're still not on.
We're on, yeah. Father.
What? Oh, there they are. Where are you? Okay. Julia, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis, I did the homework.
Rebecca.
Yes, Father Francis.
Annalise.
Yes, Father Francis.
And Joseph Wilde. Joseph Wilde, are you out there? Not yet. Anybody who did not get called? Okay. I want to ask you later on to tell me what you learned in class. But first, a few announcements. Okay, some of you homeschoolers are asking me what days, times on the weekends am I saying mass? Because it's different every weekend. It's kind of confusing. Okay, so I'll just do this one week at a time. Because even if it's on the schedule, it could change. So this Saturday at 3 p.m., I'm doing mass. And then on Sunday, I'm doing the 6:30 a.m. mass. Okay, so 3 p.m. Saturdays, 6:30 Sunday. This coming Wednesday, less than a week from now, it's going to be Ash Wednesday, the first day of Lent. I'm going to distribute ashes at 6 a.m. here at the parish. Okay, 6 a.m. to 6:30, I'll be distributing ashes. And I want to give you a choice, all right? The diocese says one thing, but I want to give you a choice. And both ways are fine. Both ways have a tradition, okay? You can receive it the way you normally receive it, you know, on the forehead, and that way people can see it. You know, and if you get it first thing in the morning, you know, you'll be able to be a witness all day long. Or you can have it sprinkled on the crown of your head, okay, right up here. There's a little bit of ash. I'm not going to pour it on, you know, dump a pile. That's also a tradition, okay? So both ways are fine, you choose. The diocese doesn't want priests touching because of the virus. I tested negative on Monday, okay? I'm not gonna get the virus. It's just not gonna happen, all right? So I'm not contagious, I'm not guilty until proven innocent. You're not gonna get any disease from me, okay? So. You can receive this way if you want. If you want it sprinkled on the top, you just let me know, all right? On Sunday, this past Sunday, I hit the 5,000 mile mark on my e-bike. Okay, I'm just starting a new way of cycling. I did 100,000 miles and plus another 8,000 miles on the regular bike. And now, because I'm getting old, I'm on the e-bike, so this is a big deal for me. Now, recently, I've had some homilies live streamed. Okay, they're pretty controversial. If it's cold in the morning, these homilies will warm you up. They'll get you pretty excited. So the past two Sundays, they've been streamlined, okay, here at the parish. And then yesterday, good homily, that I gave in Yorba Linda at St. Martin de Porres. Okay, so if you're looking for things to do, we're pretty limited, you know, you can't get out much. So if you're looking for something to do, if you're having trouble falling asleep at night, Take a look at the live stream of Father Francis, the homily. And then hopefully it'll be live streamed at one of the masses that I do this weekend. Okay, we'll see. I think that's all the announcements. Ooh. Okay, we'll stand and pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God, our Heavenly Father, help us to better know the works of mercy, to better love the works of mercy, to better live the works of mercy, to better teach the works of mercy. We ask this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. After I'm done teaching, then I'll go back and I'll ask you to tell me what you learned for today's class, all right? So last week we began the spiritual works of mercy, an overview. Now we're going to talk about each of the spiritual works of mercy, starting with the first, to teach the ignorant, all right? So what does it mean? What's the definition of teaching? In general, you know, whether you're a math teacher or an art teacher, okay, all different kinds of teachers, what is teaching? To impart knowledge to a learner so as to relieve the deficiency in his or her mind. Okay, this is pretty much St. Thomas Aquinas. Okay, to relieve the deficiency, the misery in the mind, the ignorance in the mind. Some people say ignorance is bliss. I can tell you it's one big pain. I hate ignorance. Okay, that's perhaps one fiery reason why I teach. Okay, I have such a passion for of hatred for ignorance. I just want to drive it out. Okay, so it is something miserable, a spiritual misery. Okay, that and error, both of those are spiritual miseries. Now, we have an intellect, right? And the will. In the intellect, you have what's called the speculative intellect. What does speculative mean? Well, that answers the question what something is and why something is. Okay, this is science. This is what science is about. Any type of science is basically what is it and why is it? Okay? The knowledge of what and why something is. Now, also in the practical, intellect, you have the practical intellect. And that answers the question, how? Okay? It's the knowledge of dot, 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 and you pick up the dots over here. The knowledge of either how to do something or how to make something. Okay, that's art. Art has to do with doing something or making something. So the higher arts, that'd be like singing and dancing. And then the manual arts, that would be like painting and sculpturing. Okay? So that distinguishes art from science. Science has to do with the speculative intellect. Art has to do with the practical intellect. All right? I want to throw in some other stuff, more biblical stuff. Okay? History is a type of knowledge, okay? Historical knowledge. Answering the questions who, when, and where. Places, countries, cities, when, which century, what year, what month, what day, who. Like, you could take the word history and divide it in half, his story, like the story of Jesus, history. So those are questions that are worth answering also, worth knowing. Okay? I didn't think I was going to need history much when I was in high school. I wasted valuable time. I didn't learn history. I should have. And now it's really interesting to me. I want to know history so I can better understand the Bible. Now, in the Bible, you don't just have concepts. Concepts, ideas, that's a Greek way of thinking. A Jewish way of thinking is having images, using imagery, using your imagination, describing truth with images. Jesus did that. A lot of the Old Testament is history. A lot of the Old Testament is imagery. And even so in the New Testament. Okay? So I want to throw that in too. This is all part of knowledge. This is knowledge that can be taught. All right? So in general, teaching has to do with this. No matter what kind of teacher you have, no matter what you're learning, this is that kind of knowledge. Now, specifically, okay, so this was in generally, this is specifically, what does it mean to teach? You know, for our class today, to teach means to impart the knowledge of the Catholic faith, okay? To impart Catholic teaching. That's theology. That's the greatest science. Theology is the greatest science there is. It asks the most important what and why questions. There is no higher science than theology. Okay? It's also the greatest art. It tells you how to get to heaven. That's the most practical thing you'll ever learn. Okay? What good is it to learn how to tie your shoes and sew a button on your shirt, or, you know, how to throw a football if you don't know how to get to heaven? Okay, so this is the high theology, the Catholic faith, this is the highest science, this is the highest art there is, all right? And it's the most important history. Salvation history. There's nothing greater than that. There's no history greater than salvation history. The history in the Old Testament, the New Testament, the history of the church, the history of God revealing himself to us. Okay, so what is the definition to teach for our class today? To impart knowledge of the Catholic teaching to a learner so as to relieve the deficiency in his or her mind. Okay? So the difference between this and this, this is knowledge in general. This is knowledge of the Catholic faith. That's specific. Okay, what to teach? What is taught? In the Catholic faith, it's what Jesus taught. Okay, that's the most important. Jesus gave us the fullness of revelation. Everything we need to get to heaven, everything we need to know, to do, to get to heaven. Okay? It happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus was on earth. He gave us the fullness of revelation. It's also what Jesus teaches here and now and for the past 2,000 years in his church. He's the head of the church, and we are the body of the church, the mystical body. So for the past 2,000 years, God, Jesus, has been teaching us through his church, through the magisterium. Magister means teacher, okay? This is the teaching authority of the church. That's a big word, huh? So that would be the Pope, the bishops. You know, the Pope is the highest of all the bishops. Okay, they're the teachers. Okay, they're in the position to teach. Sometimes they're not the most competent teachers. Okay, but that's the position they have. They have the position to teach. What to teach? What's in the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, especially the New Testament. But there was an early church heresy that said you don't need the Old Testament. All you need is the New Testament. No, you need the Old Testament to better understand the New Testament. Okay? You got to have the Old if you want to know the New. So you need the Bible and tradition. Tradition, capital T, the tradition that doesn't change, that's been around for 2,000 years. That includes ecumenical councils, papal encyclicals, universal catechisms, writings of the saints. This is all part of tradition. You had oral tradition before you had the Bible. The faith was passed down verbally, okay, before it was ever written down. The first writings in the New Testament weren't written down until, 20 years after Jesus ascended into heaven. 20 years, at least, of oral tradition. The last book that was written in the New Testament was about 100 A.D., so you have almost 70 years of oral tradition until the Bible is finished, okay? So Protestants who say all you need is the Bible, there was no Bible before 100 AD. There was no complete Bible, okay? But you had oral tradition. That saves, whether you have a book or not. Boy, does it help to have a book, okay? But there was tradition before there was a Bible. Very good. Okay, so what is it? What to teach? Why teach? There's lots of reasons why. I'll just give you four. Jesus said to. It's the last thing he said before he ascended into heaven. Go. He said to his disciples, go out and teach everybody. Okay? Teach them by word. Teach them by example. Okay, teach. Number two, to relieve the deficiency of the mind. As St. Thomas Aquinas says, obviously, okay? So in the definition of teaching, you have a why. This is why you do it. Okay. And okay, this is St. Thomas Aquinas. When he's talking about the deficiency, when he's talking about this spiritual work of mercy to teach, he's saying primarily it has to do with the speculative mind. Okay? The speculative intellect. Secondarily, it could include the practical mind, practical knowledge. But for St. Thomas Aquinas, it's to teach the faith is primarily to teach the what's and the why's. Okay? We don't get much of that in our day and age. We're being taught the hows sometimes, but we're not given clear teaching on what things are in the church, why they are. Okay, there is a big problem this way. So this is definitely important. I'm opening up teaching to something more inclusive than the speculative mind. Okay. I'm thinking of the spiritual work of mercy to teach. I'm thinking the speculative intellect, the practical intellect, historical knowledge, using imagery to teach. Okay. My view is bigger. But you can say this. You're very safe going with St. Thomas Aquinas. Okay. I tend to take risks, as you can tell by my homilies recently. Okay, a third reason to teach is why we do everything, why we should do anything at all. It's for the glory of God, for love of God, and for the salvation of souls. It's for love of our neighbor. Okay? That's why we should teach. If you don't have love, it's not a work of mercy. Number four, this is what Jesus did. The main thing Jesus did was to teach. That's what he was called. He was called a teacher. He was called a rabbi. He said he taught daily. He taught in the synagogues and temple and all that. We'll get into that later. Okay, but these are four of several reasons why we should teach. Okay, why you teach your younger brothers and sisters. Okay, why you learn how to teach in the future. Okay. Mary Grace.
Can you repeat the way to teach, or why we teach, the for the glory of God and
for the salvation of souls.
And for the salvation of souls. Okay, thank you, Father.
You're welcome. SOS, salvation of souls. Okay, so that's A, B, C, and now D. Who should teach? Those who are in the position of teaching. The Pope, the bishops, the priests, parents. Parents are the primary educators of their children. Okay? They have that position to teach. But just because, like I said, just because you have the position doesn't necessarily mean you're a good teacher. Okay? We see this. This is history. This is a sad thing, but just because you're a pope or a bishop or a priest doesn't necessarily mean you're competent. Okay, so who should teach? Also, those who are competent, those who do know the faith and are willing and able to teach it. Some of them are competent. They are willing to teach, but they're not able to. Okay, there's something that's hindering them from teaching. They have the desire, but their cross is they are not really given the opportunity to teach. Okay? It could happen this way with a vocation. There could be someone who is willing to be a priest, would be competent if they were allowed to be trained in the seminary. Some of them do it on their own. They're willing to go through the whole process. They're willing to be a priest, to do what priests do, but they're not able to, or at least temporarily. We had a priest in the LA diocese. Yeah, I was no big fan of his, but I admired him because however much he desired to be a priest, there were two hindrances. Number one, his fingers were not your normal fingers. And it wasn't until, I don't know, 50, 60 years ago that the church said it would be okay if a man could be a priest even though there was a deformity in his fingers. Remember seeing Isaac Jogues? The Indians grossly deformed his fingers. And so according to church law, he would no longer be able to celebrate Mass. But because he was so saintly, the church allowed him to say Mass, even though he had that deformity. Okay? So this man was hindered from being a priest because of polio or whatever it was that deformed his fingers. But later on, the church lifted that law. So now he could become a priest, but his siblings were not taking care of his parents. They were irresponsible. So the burden went to him. He had to take care of his parents. And just day by day, do all those things that you have to do for aging parents. He so desired to be a priest. His desire just grew and grew and grew. And when his parents did die, then he entered the seminary and became a priest. Okay? Okay, so to have the competency, to know the faith, and to be willing and able to teach it. Who should be taught? Everybody. No one is to be excluded. Everybody. Some people don't want to be taught. Okay, they resist it. You know, I had 12 years of Catholic school. I don't want to hear anymore. I saw that when I graduated from Mater Dei High School. Several students were sick and tired of hearing the Catholic faith. They had Catholic faith for 12 years in Catholic schools. I didn't have that. And I was just beginning to get a desire, a hunger for the faith. As these others were sick and tired of it, I was all excited. I just wanted to know the faith. Okay? So people who are hungry for the faith are more teachable. It's easier to teach them than if they, you know, put up barriers saying, don't teach me, stay away from me, I'm sick and tired of this stuff. Okay. Some people are just more teachable. How to teach? All kinds of answers. Jesus is our role model. He is our teacher. We should teach like Jesus. Another answer, to And this is a Vatican II answer. Okay. In a way that the receiver, the learner, can best receive the knowledge. There's different ways of presenting the faith, depending on where someone is at. Some people can take in more, others less. Some need to be taught like a child, others can be taught like adults. I'm teaching you more like adults than I'm teaching you as if you were children. Okay? How about that? Okay, no crayon theology in Father Francis's class. All right? Now, the second part of this class. So the first part, you know, Roman numeral number one, to teach. Roman numeral number two, teachers. And this is going to continue on another board. We got three boards for today's class. Okay, the greatest teacher in the Old Testament is Moses. Moses was called by God to teach. You see that in several places in the book of Exodus. Where did he teach? Mainly on Mount Sinai. You know, where he was given the Ten Commandments, he was given all kinds of teachings. All right? So not exclusively Mount Sinai, but mostly on Mount Sinai, on a mountain. He taught on a mountain. Who did he teach? He taught the Israelites. The chosen people, the people of God in the Old Testament, the Jews. Why did he teach? One answer, there's a few answers. One answer is to prepare for Jesus's teaching. Okay. It wasn't the fullness of revelation. It was partial. All right. But you can't go from zero to fullness. You got to pass through partial. Okay. Get the partial knowledge and then you're more ready for the fullness of knowledge. Okay. What he taught about God. God is one. He taught what God revealed, though partially, partial revelation. So that's in general. And specifically, what did he teach? He taught about the faith, about liturgy, morality, and prayer. Okay. He taught about faith in God. God is one. He's the only God. He's a true God. He's a just God, merciful God, saving God. You can go on and on and on about that. Who chose the Israelites? That should be 1-0. I have choose. It should be 1-0. Who chose the Israelites to be his people? Okay? Moses taught the liturgy. He was taught by God. And he taught the people the liturgy, the Old Testament feasts, okay, like Passover, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Old Testament Pentecost, there's an Old Testament and a New Testament Pentecost, taught about the Sabbath, the seventh day, Shabbat. Shabbat in Hebrew is Sabbath. Shabbat means rest. It's one beat. I remember years ago, it might have been 15 years ago, I was in a synagogue on the Sabbath, the Shabbat. And after their service, they were saying Shalom Shabbat to each other. Shalom means peace. Shabbat means rest. So no, they were saying Shabbat Shalom. They were saying rest and peace. Normally we say that when someone dies, may they rest in peace. They were saying it to each other, to those who were here living on earth. Okay? It's both. It's not just for the dead, wishing them peace, resting in peace. It'd also be for the living. Okay, so Moses taught the people to rest to Shabbat on the Shabbat, to rest on the Sabbath. And also he taught about the various sacraments. Yeah, the book of Leviticus, the first third of that book is all about different sacrifices. A sacrifice of praise, sacrifice of thanksgiving, a sacrifice of petition, communion sacrifice for sin. Okay, lots of different sacrifices, using bulls, using sheep, birds, okay, different kinds of animals, blood sacrifices, Holocaust. That's one kind of sacrifice. You burn the whole victim, the whole animal. The whole animal is given up to God. That's a Holocaust, completely burnt, okay? A communion sacrifice, part of it was burned and given to God. Part of it was cut off and given to the priest. The other part was cut off and given to the person or the people who brought the sacrifice. And then supposedly God, the priest, and the people would all eat the sacrifice. Okay, it was a communion sacrifice. So Moses taught that. Moses taught the circumcision. That means to cut around. That's what that word means in Latin. Okay. So those are some of the things he taught that had to do with liturgy in the Old Testament. He taught morality. The Ten Commandments, the two commandments of love. The first commandment, love God with your whole mind, heart, soul. And number two, love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, those are the two commandments of love that Moses taught. He taught about prayer more by example. I only realized recently, Moses' main prayer, it seems to me, Moses' main prayer was a listening prayer. Yes, he did ask God for favors. He did intercede. Yes, he did thank God and praise God. But how do you think he got all this knowledge? It was because he was listening to God. Okay? That's a hard way to, it's hard to learn how to pray that way, to listen. It's easier to talk and go on and on and on. It's a lot harder to listen. But he is a role model. He is like at least a role model of listening prayer in the Old Testament. The prophets would also be great listeners too. In order to proclaim God's word, you have to receive God's word. Otherwise, you're not a prophet. Okay, you first have to receive God's word, and then you're able to proclaim it. That's a prophet. Okay. Mostly a listening prayer, such as during the 40 days on Mount Sinai. But I did give a Bible quote or two for his prayer of praise and thanksgiving. Remember this, Exodus 15. They were just leaving the slavery of Egypt. They were beginning their journey in the wilderness. And then they come to the Red Sea. They can't go forward. And they turn around, and here comes the Egyptian charioteers full speed ahead. And the Israelites all thought they were going to die. And God told Moses, raise your staff and part the sea. They went through the sea. They got on dry land on the other side. And then here comes the charioteers into the water. And they get in, you know, halfway through the sea. And then all the water comes caving in on them. They were saved. And so they had this prayer of praise and thanksgiving to God. Also, when Moses was on Mount Sinai for, you know, a long time, and the Jews gave up on God, the Israelites gave up on God, they gave up on Moses, he's never going to come down, he's probably dead, we need some other God, so they conned Aaron into making them a golden calf. And when Moses came down the mountain, he heard a noise in the camp that didn't sound good. This is not good. And sure enough, he gets down the mountain and there's this golden calf and the people are worshiping it, probably adultery, other shenanigans going on. So he had a prayer of petition and a prayer of sorrow to God, asking God to forgive their sin. Okay, Exodus chapter 32, twice he had this prayer. Okay, so yeah, he was a great listener, but not exclusively. Okay, so that's our teacher in the Old Testament, and now we got the greatest teacher of all time. We need a different board to finish this up. Jesus, the greatest teacher ever in the history of mankind, where he taught all over the place, mostly in Israel. He said he taught daily in the temple. When he wasn't teaching in the temple on the Sabbath, he would teach in synagogues, various synagogues. In Matthew's gospel, you have a few chapters on Jesus's teaching on a mount. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. Okay. That's where a lot of his teaching comes from, in Matthew's gospel. But he taught in other places. He taught in people's homes. He taught on a plane, not an airplane, but you know, flat ground. He's taught by the shore. It was good to teach where you had good acoustics, where his voice could be heard by thousands. Okay, so those are main places where he taught. The temple was on a mount. His Sermon on the Mount was on the mount. Okay, so Jesus taught on a mount, just as Moses taught on Mount Sinai. Who he taught, not just the people that Moses taught, the Jews, but also his teaching was meant for the Gentiles. He himself almost always taught Jewish people. Okay, but he wanted his teaching for everybody, Jews and Gentiles. We're the Gentiles, so the teaching is for us too. Why he taught? To give us the fullness of revelation. Why did he teach? So we could get to heaven. We could be saints. We could experience God's love perfectly for all eternity. You can give all kinds of answers why he taught. What he taught, obviously the fullness of revelation, but again, it was the same four things that Moses taught. Moses taught the faith that there's one God. Jesus taught there are three divine persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You see this in various sections, like in John chapter 17, the Last Supper, Jesus's priestly prayer. Actually, you know, it's before that. It's like, it's just the Last Supper in John's gospel, where he's speaking to God the Father, and he said that he's going to be sending the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete. Okay, plus he's there too. So that's three divine persons. So that's a new teaching. And a new people of God, Jews and Gentiles. Now you have new liturgy. Jesus came to make all things new. New feasts, like a new Passover. New Pentecost. The new Sabbath is on the Sunday. Okay, it's not a Saturday. It's a new sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice, the one sacrifice that took place 2,000 years ago on Mount Calvary. It started on Holy Thursday in the upper room. It finished when Jesus died on the cross on Good Friday. This one sacrifice is the sacrifice that takes away the sins of the world. It's the perfect sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving and petition. It's the perfect communion sacrifice. Okay. And also he gave us the seven sacraments. All right. So circumcision was kind of like, it was a foreshadowing of baptism. Okay, baptism is like a new circumcision. Okay. Morality. Moses gave the double commandment in Deuteronomy and Leviticus, love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus gives the new commandment, love one another as I have loved you at the Last Supper, John chapter 13 and chapter 15. We get a lot of morality in the Beatitudes. Okay. Matthew chapter 5. Prayer. Jesus taught us the Our Father in Matthew chapter 6. He is the role model of prayer, especially on Holy Thursday and Good Friday. Holy Thursday, you have the Last Supper, and in John's gospel, he's just talking and talking and talking, but most of it is to his apostles. But in chapter 17, he switches. He's not teaching his apostles, he's praying to his Father in heaven. So that's an example of Jesus praying. Jesus, you know, during his public ministry, he would get away, go up to a mountain and pray all night. Okay, we don't know quite what was going on, but we got a better view on at the Last Supper because it's all written down. St. John wrote it down. Also, we have some idea of Jesus's prayer in the agony in the garden. Okay, and not my will, but thy will be done. And Jesus's prayer during his crucifixion, the 3 hours on the cross. It's called his seven last words. Okay, one word being, you know, one sentence, another word representing another sentence. The seven last things he said on the cross. Rachel.
Yeah, I was wondering how the apostles knew what Jesus was saying when he was praying in the on the agony of the, in the garden if they were asleep.
That's right. So that's why we don't know much. We only know what he said when they were awake. Okay. So after he said, not my will, but thy will be done, you know, by then the three apostles had fallen asleep. Okay, snoring away. Good. Okay, so Moses is the teacher in the Old Testament. Jesus is the greatest teacher ever. And the church continues his work of teaching. The church is called Mater et Magister, mother and teacher in Latin. Huh? For the past 2,000 years, the church continues to teach what Christ taught. The church has a divine mandate, command from God to teach all nations. Okay? Nothing can get in the way with that. No government can tell the church you cannot teach. Okay? If there is a conflict between what man says and what God says, you go with God. This happened in the early church. The apostles were preaching, evangelizing, and the Jewish religious leaders said, stop it. They threatened the apostles. We're going to hurt you. We're going to scourge you, you know, all this. And the apostles just kept on teaching. The Jewish religious leaders called them in and said, we told you not to teach, to preach, shut up. And St. Peter said, better for us to obey God than man. Okay, we have a divine mandate. Jesus told us to teach, so nothing gets in the way of that. The Catechism of the Catholic Church that was put out in 1992, a year after I was ordained. This is an excellent source to learn the teaching of the Catholic Church. Okay? You have these, in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, you have these four parts. The Catechism is divided into four parts. The first part is what we believe, the creed, how we worship, liturgy, the sacraments. The third part is, you know, how we live to be virtuous and how we pray, how to pray. Okay, so that was foreshadowed with Moses and fulfilled with Jesus. And so we have a catechism. It started with the Roman Catechism after the Council of Trent that divided catechism into four parts, right? Now, something else about teaching. Okay. Maybe you have an idea what the etymology of educate means. It's two Latin words. The E part, that's E-X-X, and then ducere, to lead. Okay, to lead out. I think it was Plato who described man's life as being underground in a cave. There is only one bit, one area where there's some light, you know, some fire. But it's mostly dark and shadowy. And that's what most people will ever know. Okay? This darkness, which is ignorance, and this shadow, you know, shadowy And the shadows, which they think are real, but that would be error, okay? You think you know, but you don't. It's just a shadow, it's not real. And then someone who's above the cave, where there's light, you know, daylight, and sometimes bright light, he goes down into the cave, and he's able to convince some people that this is not real. Okay? He's able to convince them to risk getting out of the cave. He leads them out of the cave. Ex ducere, to lead out. To lead out of the darkness. Okay? And then they get out of the cave, and then suddenly there's this tremendous light that they've never experienced in their life, and it's blinding, it's painful. I can't see, it would have been better if I was down in the cave. Oh, I wish I was back in the cave. No. You slowly get used to the light, and then you see what you never saw before. You see what's real. Okay? That's Plato's description of education. To lead out of the darkness and into the light. Oh yeah, okay. Now there's different words in Hebrew for teaching. And one of them is zahar, Z-A-H-A-R, zahar. And it means to enlighten. Okay. I had a lot of those experiences putting this course together for the year. Lots of moments of enlightenment. The light just went on, you know, and suddenly I just know something I never knew before that had to do with this class. So the Latin word ex ducere has to do with getting out of the darkness. It's talking about the beginning, okay? And then zahar talks more about the end. When you get out of the cave and there's light, and light, to be enlightened, okay? It's seeing knowledge as light. Being able to see, okay? Now, there's another Hebrew word for teach. Y-A-R-A, Yara. Yara does mean teach, but in the sense of pointing. It's like the finger is pointing to what you need to know, pointing to the target. Here's where you need to aim. Okay, Yara. And I'm not sure, but I think that may be the root word, one root word for the word rabbi. I think rabbi was like Abba with the R-A in front, which before that was Y-A-R-A, is the father, a fatherly figure, someone in authority who points. Okay? Okay. Sarah.
What does Yara mean? What was Yara means to teach in the sense of, what was the sense?
It means to teach, but in the sense of pointing, indicating. It's like, I'll show you where the target is so you know where to aim to get to it.
Okay. Thank you, Father.
You're welcome. Now, Jesus, in the New Testament, when it was translated in the Greek, he was called teacher, but it's the Greek word didaskolos. D-I-D-A-S-K-A-L-O-S. That's a similar idea of Yara in Hebrew. Okay? Doktoulos in Greek means finger. Okay? The didaskolos, Jesus, pointing to the Father. This is how you get to heaven. This is how you become happy, holy, whole, healthy. Okay? This is where you aim. I Jesus am the way, but you keep on going, to the Father. He points. Okay. Now we have another Hebrew word. Lamad. Lamad also translates to teach in Hebrew, but it's different. It's not emphasizing pointing. It's not emphasizing enlightenment. It's more negative because we have a fallen nature. We tend to get lazy, to tune out, to give up. And so a teacher may have to kind of prick you to keep you going. Maybe call you out in class, to wake you up. Hey, Jimmy, get the adrenaline going again. I remember having a teacher in eighth grade, Mr. Woodward, and he would walk around with a wooden ruler, big, like 2-3 feet long. And if he saw one of his students falling asleep, he'd take the ruler and slam it on the table and break the ruler. He broke lots of rulers to wake the student up. This word has to do with teaching in a way that you goad the student. Okay, a goad originally was a pointed stick that was used to keep the cattle moving. You prod them, just stick them in the back, behind it, keep them moving, don't stop, move. Okay, that was a goad. It could also be a spur, something sharp, something to keep the student steady. All right. So that's another idea that was used to describe a teacher. Okay. Hopefully I won't have to have a whip and... Or something that, I don't have to do that with homeschoolers. You have to do that in public schools, okay? Because kids zone out all the time. It's like babysitting, but homeschoolers are more attentive. Okay, you don't have to goad the students. They want to learn. They're eager to learn. You don't have to keep, you know, sticking them to move them on. Okay, so Jesus was called Rabbi. 1 point, teacher. He was called Didaskalos in Greek. Okay, 1 who points. Okay, 1 who points us to the Father. It shows us where to aim. Okay, it's like the person having an arrow and knowing where to throw it to hit the target. It's over here. It's possible to hit the target without knowing where it is. It's almost impossible. It's like a million to one. You're just shooting over here, you're shooting over here, you're shooting down here, shooting over there. But you're more likely to hit it if you know where it is. When you know where to aim, it's no guarantee you're going to hit the target, but you have a much better opportunity of hitting it if you see it. Okay. So if you have people pointing, this is what you need to know. This is how you're going to get to heaven. If you point, you're more likely to get there. Okay. So those are some Bible understandings of teaching. And that concludes my actual teaching on the boards. And now I want to hear from you. You've had to listen to me for over an hour. Now I want to hear from you what you learned. Okay? And as soon as you tell me what you learn, then you can go. And I'll start in the opposite direction this time. Did Joseph Wilde ever show up?
He said he wasn't coming today.
Okay. And I'll save Abigail to later. So I'll start with Annalise. You said you did some research too. Tell me what you learned.
No, I didn't do any research, Father.
Mary Grayson. Okay, go ahead.
Last week, I learned that the human mind has the power to conceive ideas, to judge, to know the truth, to be self-conscious, to reflect, and also to reason, which is 2 judgments. So a judgment plus a judgment. So it's kind of like A plus B equals C. And I also learned that the human mind has 2 ways of knowing. The intellectual mind, which has the intuitive knowledge, just the knowledge that you don't need to learn in order to know, it just kind of comes to you. And then the rational mind, which has the discursive knowledge, which is the knowledge that you need to learn in order to know.
It's step by step. Curare, I think in Latin has to do with running. You know, you take one step at a time, okay? It's that kind of learning, okay? It's good to have both, okay? All right, so that was Annalise. And now Cameron, tell me what you learned. Cameron, are you still there? Where did she go? Is she gone? He's gone. Okay, let's go to the Santanas. Is Andrew there?
Yes, Father Francis.
Tell me what you learned.
I learned that the definition for the spirit, for a spirit, is that which is immaterial and immortal in a person.
Okay. That's it? All right, Luke, what did you learn?
I learned that the spirit is immaterial and is immortal, and that it can call on, it can connect with other spirits in on earth, heaven, purgatory, and in hell.
Okay, that's good. Sophia, what did you learn?
I learned that there are different meanings for spiritual, and that there can be evil relationships, and if you want to get to heaven, you have to have charity.
Yeah, you said what no one else said. You know, when I put definition and then those three things, the students were saying, you know, one definition is this, one definition is this, one definition is this, but you said three different meanings. That's a better way of saying it. Good job, Sophia. Claire, what did you learn?
I learned that the evil relationships.
Claire, are you with us? What did you learn? I'm not hearing you, Claire.
There can be evil relationships.
Okay. All right. Let's go to the Perez's. Diego, are you there? Diego, no? I see your sisters, but I don't see Diego. All right. I'm just going to give them half credit then. Liliana, what did you learn?
I learned that God is the only true, supreme, perfect, and eternal, uncreated spirit. Angelic and human spirits are created spirits.
Okay, you did some reading. I don't want you reading to me.
Sorry, I'm here.
Oh, Diego, what did you learn?
I learned that the difference between a human soul, a human spirit, and an angel spirit is that where they both bond with other spirits, and they have to know, and the human spirits have to know, has to learn the truth, but angels do not have to take things step by step.
Okay, you better work on being more clear, okay? Let's go to the Rivas family. Rivas, there, I see one of you. Is Alicia there?
Yeah, Bethany and Lisa had to get back to a different class and log into another Zoom class.
What did you learn?
It's Mara. Mara and Aaron are here.
Bethany, what did you?
Bethany had to go to another Zoom class for her other school. Sorry.
And Lisa.
Mara, what?
Go ahead.
What I learned, Faro, was a human. Humans have conscience, and animals don't. Us humans, we can reflect, and you need moral virtue to perfect spiritual virtue.
Wait, you look like Bethany.
What?
I think Bethany.
Your sister's or something.
And then Aaron, do you have anything you want to tell me that you learned?
Humans have a conscience, animals do not have a conscience. Human bodies can reflect.
Human minds.
Minds can reflect.
Right.
Human minds can
reflect.
What?
Reflect.
Okay. Good job. All right. Garrison. Not there. Rachel, what did you learn?
I learned that all the spiritual works of mercy have to do with bringing people out of spiritual misery.
Okay. Sarah Leach, what did you learn?
I learned that heaven is about relationships, and I also learned that the more charity you have, the more spiritual you are.
I don't know, because angels are pure spirits, but the bad ones don't have any charity. They're not more spiritual. They're more spiritual than us by nature, because they're pure spirits. But I wouldn't say they're Those who have charity are more like God, who is the perfection of a spirit of charity. Yeah, I think that's how I would put that. Okay, Julia Latham, what did you learn?
Father Francis, she had to get on to another Zoom meeting.
Well, what did you learn, Rebecca?
I learned that the human mind has the power to conceive ideas, judge, and reason.
Good. Chris Kapp, what did you learn?
I didn't do the homework, Father.
I'm sorry. Sorry about that. Okay, Claire Gomez, what did you learn?
God is a spirit, capital S, that is uncreated, and created spirits include angelic ones, which are angels, and another created spirit is a human spirit, which is an embodied spirit, and created spirits are good so far as they're like God, and evil so far as they're like Satan, and the human mind has two ways of knowledge. One is the intellectual mind with intuitive knowledge, and the other side is the rational side with discursive knowledge. And intuitive knowledge is knowledge that suddenly comes and you didn't really have to work to get. And angels do not have discursive knowledge, and that etymology of spirit in Latin is spiritus, and in Greek it is pneuma.
Perfect. That's very good, Claire. Very good. Okay, Olivia, did you do, tell me what you learned.
Father Francis, I learned for today's class that the definition of a spirit is immaterial or immortal in a person that can actually connect with other spirits, whether on earth, hell, purgatory, or heaven. The spirit also has the power to know the truth and to choose goodwill. I also learned that there are two different kinds of spirits, uncreated and created spirits. God is the one, only, true, supreme, perfect, eternal, uncreated spirit. And God is spirit and enjoys the most perfect spiritual relationship within himself, which is the Holy Trinity. Now, created spirits are angelic pure spirits and human embodied spirits. And created spirits are good in so far as they're like God, but they can also be evil in so far as they are like Satan, who is the most perverted out of all the evil spirits.
Excellent. That's the best, I think, so far. Very
Thank
good.
Thank you.
Welcome. You got a happy face. Riley, what did you learn?
Yes, Father. I learned about the different types of spirits. There are angelic spirits, which are pure spirits, and then human spirits. Which... Say it again.
Don't read. Don't look down.
Oh, okay. Okay. There are human spirits, which are embodied spirits, and then angelic spirits, which are pure spirits. And then there's two different types of spirits, which are the created spirits and then uncreated spirits. And then there's actually only one uncreated spirit, which is God. And yes. Then there is the created spirits, which can either be good or evil. And created spirits can be good insofar as they are like God, and then uncreated spirits are, created spirits are evil insofar as they are like Satan, who is the most perverted of all the evil spirits. And then back on human spirits, the human spirit,
you can take one quick look.
Okay. Okay, so in this life, the human spirit is joined with the is joined with the body and the psyche, and then at death, the human spirit is separated from the body and the psyche. And then at the second coming, the human spirit is reunited with the body and the psyche. And then I also learned two things about the Mind Father, that it has two types of knowledge, intellectual knowledge and and rational knowledge. And that is what I learned, Father.
You learned a lot. That was very good. Good job, Riley.
Thank you.
Okay, Abraham, what did you learn?
Father Francis, I learned that a spirit can connect with other spirits, and that and that it has the power to know the truth and to choose the good.
Good job. Okay, Esther's. Marianne, what did you learn?
I learned that God is the one and only true, supreme, perfect, and eternal, uncreated spirit. God is the only spirit who enjoys the most perfect spiritual relationship with himself. And I also learned that there are two kinds of spirits, the angelic spirits and the embodied spirits. The angelic spirits are the angels, and the embodied spirits are the human beings. I also learned that the embodied spirits can judge reasons, conceive ideas, and know the truth, but the angelic spirits cannot do this.
Yeah, they have a higher kind of knowledge. It's intuitive. Okay. Yeah. Olivia?
When we say what we learn, can we leave the call?
Say that again.
When we said what we learn, can we leave the call?
You can go. Yeah. As soon as you told me what you learned, you're done. You can go.
Great. Thank you, Father.
Angelica, what did you learn?
Two kinds of spirit, angelic spirit and embodied spirit. I also learned that the human mind can imagine and the human mind can know the truth, conceive ideas, judge, reason, and have a conscience.
Good. Good job, Angelica. And now, Emiliana, what did you learn?
So this week, Father, I learned that the word spirit, the etymology of spirit, comes from the Latin word spiritus. It, in the Greek, pneuma means spirit, and in Hebrew, ruach means spirit. And then I also did some research. You talked about saints last week who had contact with those in heaven, such as Padre Pio, who had contact with his angels. I found a lot more saints. I have like five or six that also had contact with angels. Saint Isidore the Farmer, who was helped numerous times with his work. Yes. He'd be lost in prayer and not doing his work, and the angels would do his work for him. And then Blessed Maria, Anna Maria Taiji, she was a wife, and her husband died along with all of her children, so she was left alone. And God sent her guardian angel to her, and she had constant visibility of her guardian angel and could see him all the time. And she would send her guardian angel out on duties. Go help this sick person and get him a meal. Go take care of this person who is like needs to be comforted. And then there's Saint Francis of Rome. She also had constant visible sight of her guardian angel. And Saint John Galgani, they also could see their guardian angels. And then Saint Veronica of Benasco. And that's all.
Very good. Miliana, thank you for that. And Genevieve, you're still with us, right? Genevieve?
Yes.
You didn't do the homework. You didn't do the homework, right?
I did the homework.
You did do the homework. Tell me what you learned.
I learned that being spiritual means focusing on relationships with either God or with Satan.
Okay, but it could also be other spiritual beings, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Madeline, what did you learn?
I learned that there are two types of created spirits. The angelic spirits that are for angels, and the human spirits for the body. And the relationship with spirits is very strict, because you could be in relationship with evil spirits like Satan, or angelic spirits like God and the angels and saints.
Okay, we're almost done here. Joseph. Bear, what did you learn?
Father, last week I learned that that most people get spiritual and liturgical confused. So what people think is spiritual is going to holy hours every day, praying the rosary, playing novenas of the rosary all the time. That is liturgical. What is spiritual is having a close relationship.
Stop. No, some of that's liturgical, but the rosary, that would be, and novenas, those are devotional. Okay? Some people think they equate devotion, devotional with spiritual. It could be. Okay? I'm not saying it's not. But devotional isn't necessarily liturgical, okay? The rosary is not something liturgical, it's a devotion. Okay, go ahead.
What is spiritual is having a close relationship with God in prayer and with other spiritual beings. I yes. also did some research on saints that had the-
It could involve devotion. Yes.
I also did some research on saints that had contact with the dead. One saint is Saint Maximilian Kolbe, who had Saint Teresa of Lisieux appear to him and said that he would be her earthly minister.
Did he have contact with her? Did he see her or talk to her? And
yes, he saw St. Teresa of Lisieux.
Okay. All right. Peter, what did you learn?
Father Francis, last week I learned that when someone says someone is very spiritual, sometimes they actually mean that person is highly devoted. An example of two saints, a highly devoted saint and a highly spiritual saint, are Saint Benedict and Saint Joseph of Cupertino. Saint Benedict was highly devoted and gave up a life of many luxuries in Rome to go be a hermit, and he did many things out of devotion for Jesus. And St. Joseph of Cupertino was highly spiritual in his prayers and had a very spiritual and out of this worldly connection to Jesus. And he could be seen floating many feet above the air over an hour sometimes on a regular basis.
Being able to, float around 8 feet off the ground, it's not necessary to get to heaven. Those are exceptional gifts. But it's virtue. That's more important than extraordinary gifts. Okay, just because you have the extraordinary gift doesn't necessarily mean you're spiritual. Just because you're floating 8 feet off the ground, it's possible that Satanists could do something like that. Okay. All right. Akinos, you're the last ones except for Mary Grace. Here we go. Gianna, what did you learn?
I learned that the human spirit is joined to one's body and psyche, but at death it separates. I also learned that the human mind spirit has the power to conceive ideas, give reason, judge, and know the truth.
Okay. And, Justice, what did you learn?
Father, Justice is in another class right now, but he did do the homework.
Okay. Jedediah, what did you learn?
I learned that the human mind has two ways of knowing.
That's it?
Yes, Father Francis.
Jonah, what did you learn?
I learned that there are two created spirits, which are the angelic spirit, which is pure, and then the human spirit that lives in the body.
Good. And Mary Grace, what did you learn?
Father Francis, last week I learned that there are two kinds of creative spirits. There are angelic spirits and there are human spirits. And I learned that in general, the human mind has the power to conceive ideas. And I also learned that the human mind has two ways of knowing. And the intellectual mind is the part of the mind, which is where you have intuitive knowledge, which just comes to you when sometimes, for example, if you're trying to think of the answer to a math problem, and later when you're doing something else, you remember without even trying to remember what it would be. So it just comes to you. And I learned that there is the rational mind, which is where you have discursive knowledge, which actually you need to think for that. And there is a spiritual work of mercy for every corporal work of mercy.
Good job. Okay, we're all done. Everybody got to go.
Thank
Bye,
you.
Abraham.
Bye, Father.
Bye.
Bye, Father Francis.
Good job. You helped.